While I'm thankful, as I know we all are, for the many advances in medicine and healthcare treatment, because it's made our lives a whole lot more fulfilling and enjoyable, it really has, the scientific advancements I'm going to put out there might have just now scaled the protective moral and ethical boundary wall. With the identification of DNA many years ago and the attempts to now map the human genome and the DNA components of the human body, the potential for great gains in the prevention of disease also presents the potential to play around with what God has designed with the goal of creating disease. Yeah, you heard it right, creating disease, or creating the perfect man. So as we start the healthcare focus today on the theme of rising prices, I wanted to end this program today with a play on words, DNA, splices. Our guest today is Twyla Braze of Citizens Council for Health Freedom. You can find their website at CCH Freedom. That's Citizens Council for Healthcare, CCHfreedom.org. Twyla, this area, we could spend a whole program on it, so it's going to be real tough to narrow this down, but California's in the news again, this time with babies and DNA testing. Under federal authorization, entitled Newborn Genetic Screening Effort, that test was required or imposed upon all 50 states, as far as I can determine. And while babies born after 1983 have been having their heels pricked and blood samples drawn, this DNA testing, it appears, has not always been shared with many or most parents, and they certainly don't know what's being done with it. It's potentially problematic. So, Twyla, I just want to start with you. Why is, if you want to call it this way, baby DNA, why is it being collected? How is it being justified and or sold to the public?
So it's being collected at the time of newborn screening, which we call newborn genetic testing, done by the government. It is a government program. Most states have it as a requirement in state law, although there are religious exemptions to it. And it tests the newborn's blood for a variety of mostly newborn acquired conditions. So conditions that would happen in the first few years of life. Although increasingly they are doing some screening for things that are childhood conditions, which is much more controversial. And yes, California started storing the DNA, I believe, in 1983. And this is when the child's heel is pricked. It usually happens within 24 to 48 hours of the birth of the child. A lot of parents don't even realize it happens. The nurse comes, gets the child comes back with a Band-Aid on its heel and, you know, nothing more is sent because the doctor doesn't have to talk about it because it's just law, right? And so a lot of parents don't even know it happened. But what happens there is the blood is dripped onto a special card, which usually has four or five pieces of filter paper on it, which creates spots. And then that card with those blood spots is sent to the state public health lab, and they do this screen. And in the mid-80s, and for some states in the mid-90s, the state started looking at these cards and decided they were valuable. Valuable genetic information on every child born in their state, and they started storing them. And for the most part, they did it without any law, any rule. They just did it. And so California has been storing them since 1983, and the news article says that they have more than 9.5 million cards just since 2000. So that doesn't count the 17 years before that. Right? Mm-hmm. So there are about 18 states that keep newborn DNA, or as we call it, baby DNA, for 10 years to indefinitely. Michigan keeps it for 100 years in what they call the biobank or the biotrust. And parents have no, they're not asked. There's no consent here about the storing. And in many states, there's no consent about the sale, the use, the analysis, the sharing of it either.